What's up, Club Wolfden members? This is chapter 46, 270 through 274. So let me just flip on over there. 270 through 274. Okay. This is Joseph, and this is Antwerp, Belgium, 1939, 36 days from home. The St. Louis was throwing a party, even bigger than the one they had thrown the night before they'd reached Cuba. This one had more than 900 people who had been at death's door and were suddenly miraculously saved. Belgium, Holland, and France and England had agreed to divide the refugees among them. None of the passengers were going back to Germany. Joseph's mother wasn't alone on the dance floor anymore. She was joined by dozens of couples, all dancing and having a wonderful time. Joseph had even taken a turn around the floor with her. Passengers sang songs and played the piano with the orchestra, and one man who knew magic tricks entertained Ruthie and the other little kids in the corner of the social hall. In the other corner, Joseph laughed as passengers took turns telling jokes. Most of the jokes were about taking holiday cruises to Cuba, but the best one was one of the passengers got up to read from the brochure that advertised the MS St. Louis. The St. Louis is a ship which everyone travels securely and lives in confront, he read. You barely even heard him over the hooting. There is everything one can wish for, the man read, gasping for breath. That makes the life on board pleasure. We hope you want to travel with us on the St. Louis again and again. Joseph laughed so hard he cried. He never saw the MS St. Louis again. If he never saw the MS St. Louis again, he would die happy. The next morning, the ship docked at Antwerp, Belgium. Between Captain Schroeder and the four countries still took time, and it was a full day later when, under the grim portrait of Adolf Hitler, Joseph and his family joined the other passengers in a social hall again to find out where they would be going. Representatives from the four countries sat along the table and at the front of the hall, arguing over which passenger each would take. Every country wanted only the passengers with the best chances of getting accepted by America, so they could ship the refugees back out as quick as possible. Joseph hoped that they would get England because it was the farthest away from Nazi Germany, safe across the English Channel. But when everything was settled, he and his family were assigned to France. They would be among a third group of disembarked after the Jewish refugees were going to Belgium and the Netherlands were delivered. But before the last group sailed for Great Britain, the first group left that afternoon. Joseph watched with most of the passengers as the refugees were going to Belgium, disembarked. Joseph didn't want to go to Belgium, but he was jealous of, nonetheless, like everybody else, he was ready to get off the ship. Think of it, we traveled 10,000 miles on board the St. Louis. One of the men was leaving for Belgium, he told the other passengers, as he stepped onto the gangplank, only to end up 300 miles from where we all started. The line got a laugh, but a sad one. Joseph was all too aware of the long shadow cast by Nazi Germany and everyone else, and so was everyone else. Still, as the Nazis stayed in Germany, they would be safe, wouldn't they? The next day, 181 passengers disembarked in the city of Rotterdam, even though Holland wouldn't let the St. Louis dock at their pier, just like Havana. The refugees were taken into town by another ship, escorted by police boats. As they sailed on to France, Joseph wandered the decks. The ship had a strange, empty feeling. Half the passengers were gone. The next morning, they arrived in Boulogne, France. The 288 passengers who were traveling on England gathered on the sea deck to say farewell to Joseph and the others who were disembarking. We're due in England tomorrow, Joseph heard one of them say June 21st, that's exactly 40 days and 40 nights in a boat. Now, where will we have heard that story before? Joseph smiled, remembering the story of Noah from the Torah, but felt less like Noah and more like Moses, wandering the desert for 40 years before reaching the Promised Land. What was that, France? The Promised Land, at last? Joseph could only pray it was. He picked up his suitcase, one hand, and Ruthie's in the other. He led her and their mother down the ramp into Bullnickel. You see, Mama said, I told you, somebody would think of something. Now, stay close and don't lose your coats. At the bottom of the ramp, Joseph watched one of the other passengers got down on his hands and knees and kissed the ground. If he didn't have his hands full, Joseph might have done the same thing. The Secretary General of the French Refugees Assistant Committee official welcomed them into France, and the porters on the docks moved quickly, carrying passengers' luggage for them, refusing any of the tips all of them offered. Maybe this was the Promised Land after all. Joseph and his mother and sister spent the night in a hotel in Bullnickel, and they were taken by a train to Le Mans. They were put up in cheap logging houses. Days passed, and as life went on, Joseph's mother got work doing other people's laundry. Ruthie went to kindergarten at last, and Joseph went to school for the first time in months. Because he couldn't speak French, they put him in the first grade. 13-year-old man! And they put him in a classroom with 7-year-olds. It was humiliating. Joseph promised him he would learn to speak French over the summer, or die trying. He never got a chance. 2 months later, Germany invaded Poland, touching off a new world war. 8 months after that, Germany invaded France, and Joseph and his mother and sister were on the run again. That was Joseph, chapter 46, 270 through 274. Pages 270 through 274. I hope you all have a lovely day. Thank you so much for listening. Again, this is your local Wolf Den Pack. Have a wonderful day.